Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Plenty of things for us to get into today. Of course, the normal staples now of the show. Andy from Merrick at late in the 10 o'clock hour, of course. We've got CMT at 11:30, of course. We've got Nobservations at 12:30, of course. And when we start Nobservations, guys, it's been smooth sailing, Rick. It may not be so sunshine and roses at 12:30 today when we start Nobservations.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. I could use a day. I'm going to be honest. I could use a day away from the pool.
Really?
Had about enough. Sometimes I wonder. Here's the thing. Sometimes I wonder if the big guy above is trying to punish me, or he realizes, like, he's looking out for my best interest. Like, you do a radio show for 3 hours. There's not much going on in sports. I want to provide you with some content, some real-life content. Because yesterday, in an attempt to race Milo back and forth across the pool, I came down with the most, to say painful is an under. I almost drowned yesterday. I went full leg cramp and just I almost needed to be rescued from the deep end of the pool yesterday.
I don't know what to say. We almost lost you yesterday.
I was almost lost. Yeah, I went from groin all the way through the calf into the foot. Completely.
So did you go too hard in your workout in the morning?
I don't know what I did, man. Maybe I wasn't hydrated. Maybe I thought I was Michael Phelps.
Was yesterday leg day at the gym?
There is no leg day. I'm done with that.
You're over it?
I'm over leg day.
Leg day ended when you retired?
Now, as you cramped up swimming the length of the pool, was the chipmunk on the outside looking in just giggling?
The chipmunk, by the way, has put on at least 5 lbs. I don't know if chipmunk's in. Put on 5 lbs. Cassie got a picture of him today. He is a plump, plump little chipmunk.
Well, that's because he's eating good from your garden. What did you think he was hanging around for?
This dude has multiple setups in the yard too. He's got like this one little setup where he goes like through this ground light, and then he's got another little like summer pad over by the pool where he hides underneath the umbrella. Like, this dude has made himself fully comfortable in my backyard.
He's comfortable.
I would be surprised if he shows up in the house.
Nothing to dissuade him from being there.
I didn't get coyote urine. Of course I didn't get coyote. I got lime and everything else. I got a big giant hawk patrol in the backyard, which is, I mean, apparently he's useless because he's done nothing for me. I got a red-tailed hawk. Do I put like, now here's the thing. Do I put some kind of, some food in the backyard to bring the hawk down? So now he starts patrolling my backyard for me? You think?
I wouldn't want the hawk in the backyard. I'd rather have the chipmunk.
Yeah, but the hawk, I mean, now we're talking. I mean, it's a little bit scary for the kids. I don't have a small dog or anything. I think the hawk could be an ally here, no?
I think the hawk is hovering above your backyard because there is food in your backyard.
That's an excellent point.
Yeah, I don't think he would be there otherwise.
But for some reason, this chipmunk is outsmarting all of us, and I don't like it.
Savage. Savage. All right, the chipmunk, it's the story that never ends here on 98.7 ESPN. And what else never ends is the saga, the drama, the continuous issues with Major League Baseball. Well, yesterday on SportsCenter, Rob Manfred said, guys, there will be baseball.
I'll be disappointed that we're unable to reach an agreement that allows us to play more games. But you know what? I think at the end of the day, the most important thing, and I'm not buying into your number of 48, the most important thing is that we play Major League Baseball in 2020, and I can tell you unequivocally we are going to play Major League Baseball this year.
Chris, strong statements from the commissioner. We will play baseball this season.
Yeah, Dave, we don't need to have any worries. All of the back and forths and the negotiations in the court of public opinion really don't matter. The commissioner has put all our concerns at ease. We're going to have baseball this year. But based on what he told Carl Ravitch last night and the tone that he used, it feels more and more like this is setting up the owners unilaterally imposing that 48-game schedule. And then we'll see where it goes from there. But it doesn't feel like the players and the owners are going to be able to find some middle ground. I know that Rob Manfred said last night that the new proposal that the owners are getting ready to share with the players is a significant step in the players' direction in terms of the salary concerns. But I just don't see these two sides getting on the same page. And And it feels like both of them are dug in and they plan on making this as adversarial as they possibly can. And this is going to be a prelude to the CBA negotiations in 2021. So we will have baseball. We know we're going to see baseball, but I don't think the players are going to be very happy when they set foot on the diamond this year.
Players won't be happy. And here's the other thing, though. I think you're starting to see this in the NBA, too. I mean, they came out with a plan, and all of a sudden it could be up to 50 players that do still have concerns. I mean, there will be still concerns, especially with Major League Baseball playing in their own home ballparks, trying to keep everyone safe, trying to keep everyone from getting COVID-19, traveling in planes and everything else. I just don't understand, when all is said and done, why Rob Manfred and the owners feel like it's in their best interest not to come to some sort of an agreement and just impose a season, when they want more playoff teams, and the players have to agree to that. I mean, they want 16 playoff teams. They want players mic'd up. I mean, again, and this may just be me being overly optimistic, but I really feel like when you look, and I looked at the proposals a little bit more this morning. So the last proposal for Major League Baseball, it was just across the board, 65% player cut salary. So you're taking a 65% cut. If you're going to make a concession back towards the players, what do you think they, 5% maybe? So get it to 60%?
Sounds reasonable.
So if players, that goes back to my original thought, where if you go to 60% now, that means you make 40% of your salary. If the players aren't budging from full prorated, 40%, that would be 65 games. Fully prorated.
Right.
And then you get, if you can come to a deal like that, and all of a sudden you get the 16 playoff teams and the players mic'd up and everything else. Which seems like the best option to me.
It does, but it almost feels like the owners are, and maybe this is a bluff, but closing into the point of, look, we got nothing to lose. You're going to play 48 games whether we come to an agreement or not. So we have all the power right now.
Yeah, so if you're the owners, why would you take a quote-unquote significant step in the players' directions when it comes to their salary demands? I don't think that you would. I mean, you're not in a position where you have to. Why concede something to the players at this stage?
Like because you're not really conceding. I mean, you've actually won. It feels like to the players that you conceded, but you really didn't. Because the players wanted, I mean, originally they thought they were getting 82 games, which was 50% of their salaries. So, I mean, they're still losing 10% of what they wanted.
No, I'm saying you're conceding to the players from the standpoint that you're playing more for player cost than you actually have to. You don't have to pay the players that money. You can just impose the 48-game schedule and pay $1 billion plus whatever you're going to – actually, under that proposal, there would be no playoff revenue going to the players. So you're talking about $1.03 billion in player costs on a 48-game schedule. If I know I've got that in the bag, why should I give the players anything?
Well, because you're not getting what you really want, too, which is another playoff series, which is more playoff games.
Sure.
And you want the players mic'd up and everything else. I just think that the owners know exactly what they're doing. And there was a reason why they leaked out the initial proposal and everything else. And what the players thought on, I think it was March 26th, mm-hmm. when they thought they had an agreement was, it'll be 82 games and we'll get fully prorated salaries for those 82 games, which is ultimately 50% of your salary. If the owners know that, that's what the players want. You fight this. You eat days off the calendar, so we can't play 82. We can't play 76. And you get to, it's a 10% win still for the owners if you play the 65, plus you get the 16 playoff teams. Like things that you weren't going to get. Like those things you weren't probably going to, I mean, initially when you negotiated this thing, that was not what you guys were going to get. You're just going to get the 82 games at 50%.
Right. So if you implement this, if you force them to play 48 games, then you can't change the postseason, right? It's locked in at what it's been.
Locked.
So you don't get the win there if you're the owners.
Well, you keep all of the revenue. You don't have to share any of that with the players.
Sure. But you don't increase to 16 playoff teams. That doesn't change.
You stay 10. No, you stay 10, yeah.
Right.
You stay 10.
Stay the same way it's been. You have the wild card matchup and then into the series.
Yeah. I mean, that is something that the owners want. That's a carrot out there that could be negotiated on. That's absolutely something that they would want, because you want to try to get as many markets engaged in the postseason, especially when you have this sprint to the finish line to end the regular season, because it's less than a third of the games that you would be playing. But, I mean, I guess I just look at it from the standpoint of, if you're the owners and you've gotten to this point and the players haven't bitten on any of the proposals that you put out there. It just doesn't feel like that's going to happen. How many different back and forths have the owners and the players had up until this point?
A lot.
That's what I'm saying. So if you haven't been able to come to any common ground, and we're talking about months since the owners knew that you weren't going to be able to have fans in stands for the upcoming season, I don't foresee them being able to accomplish that over the course of the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, but again, I keep going back to the same thing. If the owners already know what it's going to take to play this season, and they don't want to play 82 because that's going to cost them too much money. Fully prorated 82 games is too much money. And the idea that if they do impose a season that they can be taken to court, the best way to get around that and get the things that you want is to make it appear like you're actually negotiating when you're really not. You're giving a proposal, but it's pretty much the same proposal. It's the same number. It doesn't really change. Like, and you'll throw them a, you know, okay, there'll be no draft pick compensation in free agency. Well, that's great, but you're still in charge of how much money you're going to spend in free agency. Who cares about the draft pick? You're still the ones that can decide how much money you want to spend in free agency. You control that. That's another thing that the owners control. So you make it look like you're trying to negotiate when in actuality, all you're trying to do is waste time until you get to the point where this is how
the
many
most
games
you can
that
play
we
is
want.
This amount of games.
Oh, exactly, yeah, I absolutely agree with you that that's exactly what the owners are doing, which makes me feel like they're not going to opt for the proposal that you felt like they should throw out there with the 65 games. I mean, if you were talking about both sides being reasonable, the proposal that you had yesterday makes the most sense. The 65 games, players get more in salary, and the owners get the opportunity to have expanded playoffs. It feels like both sides win. But that's not the approach for both sides, because both sides are unwilling to give even a little bit, because they look at this as the backdrop for the 2021 CBA negotiations, and neither side wants to be viewed as weak in terms of how they're going into those negotiations. So I just think that part about this negotiation with this truncated season has been the thing that both sides can't get past. And so you're absolutely right. I think that your approach should be the approach that both sides have, but it's clear that that's not what they're going to do. If we were talking about both sides being reasonably minded, this would have been resolved weeks ago, but they're not. And it feels like the owners are content letting the sand run out of the hourglass and get to the point where you don't have enough days to have anything more than a 48-game regular season.
Yep, and the sand is running out quickly. More from Rod Manfred yesterday on SportsCenter. Will he mandate a 50-game season in Major League Baseball?
But at the end of the day, we negotiated for the right in March to start the season on a number of games that we select in these particular circumstances. And if we have to, we'll exercise that right.
So, I mean, that's kind of last ditch if you're the owners and the players. Maybe there's a chance, Rick, that you get something done before that you can get the 65 games done at the 60% or 65% or somewhere in that range and increase to postseason and you can get a 65-game season. That I think right now would be the ideal.
Well, it was 65%. Their last proposal was the players would take, regardless of how much money you made, if it was $37 million or if it was
across the board, everyone gets the same 65%.
Yeah, it was a 65% pay cut for everybody. So, if you're going to sit there and tell me that you're going to make another proposal that is going to be to the benefit of the players, then you would have to, mess around with that percentage. So I would imagine it's not going to be, they're not going to go, okay, 62%. They'll go 60%.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's full prorated, that would be 65 games. And it reminds me of one of those deals as a player that you feel like when you sign that you won until you take a step back and realize the entire time that you got played. Because they're still saving 10% of what you initially thought you agreed to.
Aren't those most of the deals though? Most of the time, don't you feel like, all right, you know what? We did okay. And then when we sit back and look at it, you're like, no, we didn't do great.
In my experience as a player, those are exactly the deals that we signed.
Right.
But also put on top of that is that you also gave the owners for the next 2 years expanded playoffs, and you're giving them the ability to mic you up. The other piece of leverage you have is, you can control whether or not there's a neutral site playoffs and World Series. Like those are things that are involved in the agreement. Like, so you give those things up and think that you got what you wanted, when in actuality, no, what you wanted was the 82 games and the 50%, but you settled for 65 games and 40%. So you still took a 10% haircut without even realizing it.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess the things that the players are getting out of this is they're not having any draft pick compensation for qualifying offers, right? They're getting rid of that if they come to an agreement.
Correct.
Yeah, and then you also have the service time, even though you're playing a third of the games that you would be playing in a regular season. So I guess those things have to be counted as wins if you're the players. Those things have a tangible value.
Well, depending on how much the owners want to spend in free agency. That's still one of those things where they control how much money they want to pay. And they don't have, there's no floor in Major League Baseball.
And that's why I was suggesting that should be something that the players push for.
Let's not forget, they just cut off, Major League Baseball just cut the Major League Baseball draft by 35 rounds.
Oh, I know. Yeah. You're talking about a 40-round draft, and they cut it down to 5. And then next year, I think it goes to 20. So, yeah, they're changing the way that they do business, and they're shedding some costs in terms of the overhead from their infrastructure. There's no doubt about it that the baseball owners are pinching pennies, and they're trying to become more frugal when it comes to the money that they're putting out there, because they want to try to do everything they can to enhance the bottom line. But if you're the players, you've got to try to push for provisions that encourage the owners to spend money in player costs. Now, if that's trying to negotiate for a salary floor, or Joel Sherman is even suggesting that they should consider going to a revenue sharing model rather than how they've done business previously, because if they would have shared revenue last year and split it 50-50, they would have gotten more money. So you look at the things that are going on and how analytics has changed the economics of the business. And if you're the players, if you're Tony Clark, you have to be creative in terms of considering what's in the best interest of your players and trying to figure out the model that works best for your guys, maximizing the amount of money that they can get.
I wonder how much of this, too, is the fact that the players, after the last CBA negotiations, feel like they didn't sign a good deal, that Tony Clark feels like he needs to show his players that he can win one of these battles. And the win
can
for them
though?
Is fully... Well, I think for him, apparently for him, the win is, the hill they'll die on is the fully prorated.
Right.
So as long as someone...
Seems kind of short-sighted, though, no?
Oh, yeah, but that's what I mean. But again, this is why, owners for the most part win these negotiations, because they're way smarter than we are when it comes to this stuff. Because there is dissension between the owners. Like, there are the haves and have-nots. But they all get on the same page eventually, and they find a way to make sure they show solidarity, and the players don't. Because there's so many players with so many different agendas. I think Tony Clark has an agenda here. I think he's being, I think both sides are probably being short-sighted, but I think Tony Clark feels like, okay, I got to make my stand now, because these guys need to believe that going into 2021, I'm the guy for this job. I'll get us a win in the next CBA. And the win for him is fully prorated. Like, that is the win for the players.
Well,
like,
that's easy to sell
to the players.
But Rick, if that's what the executive committee is telling him the priority is, then you know, he works at their behest. He's going to do what they ask him to do.
Bless you.
Thank you, Dave. I appreciate
it. You're very welcome. That's live radio, baby. Things happen.
Well, you know, when you're at home, you don't have the cough button.
No, I had a coughing fit the other day. Almost passed out on the air. I get it. So here's the thing, though. Of course, we want 65 games over 48 or 50. I think that goes without saying. But don't you wrap your arms around anything? Right? Like, I think most people at this point, it's like, all right, if it's 50, if it's 65, I think 80 feels a lot different. I almost think that ship has sailed. But I think the fan at this point, it's like, just give me baseball, for God's sake.
That's what the fan wants. And here's the other thing, though, to take into account. I mean, when we start talking about baseball, I mean, once something does get figured out, baseball coming back, I mean, you haven't heard much from the NHL. I'm sure you will at some point once they kind of have more of a definitive, you know, time frame and, you know, where the city's going to be and everything else. But you're hearing this in basketball already. And that's a bubble. I mean, that's a bubble situation where they're trying to, I mean, guys getting tested every day.
And NBA as well, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but just think, I mean, initially, the biggest concern for everyone was player safety, right? Bubbles, that didn't work out. Now they're going to go, you know, home stadiums. Think of the logistics involved in actually keeping players safe trying to get this season finished up in baseball with all the travel and everything else. That's daunting. That's not going to be easy.
Well, it's also unnecessary. Yeah, they're the ones that are forcing themselves into travel. That's not a necessity.
No, I know, but it's almost like because the owners have made this strictly about the finances and the players are dug in with the finances, that they're not really fully paying attention to all the different things going into their health. So as long as they get what they want financially, it feels like they'll be willing to forego the safety aspect of it. Like, yes. If they feel like they got a win with the fully prorated, then the owners can just slide in there too. Okay, make sure you sign this waiver, by the way.
Seems kind of short-sighted, man.
But that's what they're doing. But Chris used the word diabolical. That's what they are. I mean, you think now that we spent all this time going back and forth, and you have, you know, all these players that want to play. I mean, 65% of the league makes $1 million or less. That 65% has to want to play, right? Mookie Betts wants to get a service time. He wants to be a free agent.
Of course.
Stroman and everyone else. So if they get their win, which is fully prorated, is all of a sudden now having to sign a waiver going to hold this thing up? No. They got what they want. So, yeah, we'll do it. Okay, no problem. We'll sign that waiver, and the owners are off the hook.
Yeah, but the fact that the owners even threw that out there, the fact that the owners want that, to me, that's despicable. I mean, the fact that you don't want any liability for the risk that your players are incurring and the potential damage that they could have to their bodies if they get infected with the coronavirus in the middle of a pandemic. I mean, doesn't that seem a little bit ridiculous to you guys that they want to absolve themselves of any fault?
Of course.
Because of that?
Of course.
It just feels like the owners are being opportunists throughout this entire thing.
But they're always going to be. When are the owners not opportunists in any capacity, in any sport ever?
You're right, Dave, but you would just like the owners to be, you would like them to empathize more with what people are going through and what your players are going to have to go through. I mean, the owners still live in the world. I mean, even though they seem like they're a little bit detached from reality, they still see what's going on.
Do they live in the real world, though, I guess?
Yeah, but they see what's going on, though, Dave. You got 112,000 people that have died from the coronavirus, and they're projecting another 200,000 another 100,000 being dead. So you're talking about at the end of the summer, 200,000 Americans would have died from coronavirus based on the new projections. That's scary. And you're going to ask your players to go out there and play.
And travel,
but you want to get them to sign a waiver so you don't have, you know, any liability in all of this. It just something about that bothers me. Now, I get it. It's a risk reward proposition for the players. If you're willing to play their full pro rata salaries, the players think that the risk is worth it. Okay, I get that. I understand that. But it just to say that you don't want to be responsible for anything that happens to the players in regards to the coronavirus potentially affecting them short term and long term, it just doesn't seem like that's the right approach that they should have. It doesn't seem like that should be the mentality.
Nothing surprises me at this point, though. I mean, how long did it take Major League Baseball to put nets up to protect the fans?
Forever.
Really long time.
Because there were people that didn't like it. Oh, I'm not. My view is going to be obstructed. People are getting smashed in the head and winding up in the hospital for weeks.
Yeah, but those are. I mean, they're looking out for their bottom line. That's what they always do.
Of course, they are.
And you can be frustrated about it, but that's ultimately all they're concerned about. And they're going to use this pandemic as an opportunity to extract as much as humanly possible from the players.
Let's go to Dave in the car. Dave, you're first up on a Thursday morning on 98.7 ESPN.
How are you doing?
Good, Dave.
So I have one question and two points, if you'd like to let me share. Number one, let's say if it is not going to be played baseball, so the owner does not have to pay nothing for the players this year?
They already paid, what was it, $170 million?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they already paid $170 million. But yeah, if there's no season, there's no money paid to the players. No more money.
Okay, so I want to explain what I'm thinking, why the owners should not really give into this. Number one, first of all, as a fan of baseball,
the most reason why I love baseball is I'm able to be at the game. So this season, whatever this decision is going to be with empty stadiums, correct?
We believe so.
Yeah, so for me, of course it is a live season, but to see baseball on the TV, I'd rather put on an old game and enjoy it.
Hang on
like
a second. You'd rather watch an old game than a brand new game that's live that you don't know the outcome of?
No. Of course I'll choose the live game, but being to say, if I cannot have the option to go to the stadium and have the fun that we have in the stadium, It's not considered really my baseball that I grew up. I love baseball because
we all love baseball. But I mean, it's a dire time in this country. If you can't go to the game, you can't go to the game. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, I don't know the point he was trying to make. I get what he's saying. I mean, I love going to baseball games. Milo asks me every day, when can we go to a baseball game?
That's not the point. Of course, you miss it. But we're not in a situation right now where you're going to be able to go to a baseball game.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, that wouldn't deter me from watching live baseball. I mean, the fact that I can't go. What am I going to do?
I mean, a lot of things stink.
Yeah, most things stink at this point, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, this is not great for anybody.
I mean, I'd like the opportunity to go to a game as well. But if you can't go, a not-so-distant second, in my opinion, is a live game. I mean, what I wouldn't give to have a Mets game this afternoon to watch?
I'd love to be able to go home and turn on baseball, Dave. Oh. I mean, that's one of the things we love about late spring and in the summertime. You know, being able to have that 1 o'clock game.
That noon game at Citi
Field?
Game?
Yeah, exactly. Oh. You love that. I get it. I understand it's frustrating not being able to go out to the ballpark, but I mean, I'll take baseball on TV as opposed to watching replays of classic ball games.
I'm over that, by the way.
Yeah, I'm all set with that.
Yeah, I don't need to watch, you know, the 86 Mets anymore. I've seen it. It's great. Yeah. They won. I love it. It's wonderful. But give me something new, something fresh, something live. My God. I don't understand why it's funny.
Well, it's not funny. I mean, here's the other thing, too. I mean, and selfishly, I know Canty can't wait to see his Yankees, especially with, you know, this time off, everyone, you know, going to be healthy, Paxton, and hopefully Judge.
They better win.
This is exciting for the Mets. It stinks that we lost Syndergaard, but I mean, you start talking about a 65-game season, and you bring into the fact there's going to be a universal DH, which fits perfectly for the Mets. I mean, I think the Mets have as good a shot as any team in the NL this season.
It's certainly exciting, and they certainly have a shot, and I want to see them play. And because I can't go to a game, does it take a lot away? No, not really.
Time out quickly, because this bothered me yesterday. I was listening to the K Show yesterday, and the whole premise that Major League Baseball players would make the decision not to go back because the World Series, because of the circumstances, wouldn't mean as much is ridiculous. If you win the World Series, I don't care how many games, it's the World Series. You're gonna get the ring, you're gonna get the championship and everything else.
Totally agree.
A player's mindset isn't, you know what, because we only played 65 games, no one's going to look at this championship as legit. No, you're going to – every single player will look at the championship as legit.
So
you're going to win just as many playoff games.
No title's going to have merit now. Last year won't have merit, right? The Astros winning doesn't have merit. A shortened season doesn't have merit. Does the 1981 season not have merit because it was a shortened season? It has merit. It's a legitimate championship.
And under the circumstances, I mean, you can make the argument that this is one of the harder championships to win when you go all in with everything these players are going to be asked to do.
And you know what? If you do wind up with 16 teams, in essence, it is the hardest championship to win. You've never had to tackle that many teams before in the postseason.
No, and oh, by the way, I mean, every athlete is a creature of habit. I mean, how are your habits? What is your routine going to be like now? Going to the ballpark, trying to keep yourself socially distant, not be able to use. I mean, they want you to not shower at the. I mean, the list of things that you're going to have to do leading up to the actual game is going to be. I mean, you'll be mentally spent by the time you get on the field to play. I got to get tested now. I got to do this. I got to put the mask. I mean, it's just. I don't know if I could handle it. To be honest, it'd be a wreck.
You could handle it,
Dave. I was crazy when things were fine, and now all of a sudden, you add all these elements to the mix. can't put your hands in your mouth. You can't see and can't chew sunflowers. The whole thing is just, it's a lot.
Yeah.
I think the NBA, I think the NBA players are starting to realize they agreed to Orlando, and then all of a sudden, after you agree to it, you realize what that means.
Exactly. It sounds good until you realize, okay, I got a report in July and I'm going to be quarantined. Well, not even quarantined, but I'm going to be isolated for 7 weeks. It's a whole different ballgame when you actually look at it from a practical standpoint and what you're going to be asked to do. And then, oh, by the way, we're going to have restrictions on visitors.
Yeah, it's one of those things when you make when someone asks you if you want to do something like a month in advance, like, oh yeah, that sounds great.
Right. And then that day comes around, you're like, oh God.
Yeah, you're like, oh my God.
That honestly, if you had to like surmise my life, that could be it. Like, hey, Dave, you want to go out to dinner on the 19th? Sure. The 19th will never happen. That's 6 weeks away. And then the 19th comes, you're like, I can't believe I've committed to this.
That happens to me every single time.
All the time.
My wife would be like, hey, you know, we made plans for tomorrow. I'm like, oh my God, we did.
Well, you agreed to it.
I was like, oh,
it's
God.
The worst. I agreed to it 6 weeks ago. I didn't know this day would come.
I hate that.
That is very defining. All right, 800-919-3776. In these trying times, very important to remember we pull together as a community. Small businesses all over are going to be feeling the lasting effects of this pandemic. If you are a small business trying to get the word out that you're still serving the community, let us know. Send us an email to 987ESPN@gmail.com. Let us know your story so we can pass the word along to our community. 800-919-3776. And listen, do I prefer 160 games? Yes. But how many times, guys, have we had the conversation of something needs to be done? It can get a little bit bland. You know, wouldn't it be great if it was 120 or 100 games that makes every game more important? Well, for those people, you're going to maybe get 60, 50 games. Every game this season will matter. Really, every game is three games, if that's what it is in baseball, right? I mean, every game has the value of three games. Does it in some way make it more exciting, every single game?
In every way.
Yeah, you're talking about every game representing a series in a normal season.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, if you go on a three-game losing streak, you've gone on a nine-game losing streak.
That's why the NFL is king, man. I mean, that's naturally baked into their sport.
Exactly, because it's once a week and there's only 16 of them. Here's some news from Woj. Sources, players deciding against participating in Orlando could be replaced by a substitution player. NBA plans to allow replacements for players who test positive for COVID-19 or suffer injuries. Replaced players become ineligible for the rest of the 19-20 season. So if you get hurt and they have to replace you, you are now done for the remainder of the season. And that's the latest and greatest from Woj, Chris. We start the 11 o'clock hour there with a little NBA conversation.
Okay, and I think that's a tweak from what was originally proposed and approved last week. I thought that we saw that if you actually got injured, you would still be allowed to come back and play if you stayed in the player bubble. But I guess that's a little change now.
Maybe I'm confused. I think it's saying if you're replaced, then you're out. But like if LeBron, for instance, sprained his ankle and didn't play for a while, and stayed within the bubble, I would imagine he could still come back, no?
Yes. That's what I was, yeah.
Yeah. So,
if you're a player that suffers, an injury that could be, you know, a 4 to 6 week injury, they're not going to keep you on the, you know what I mean? They'll replace you, you'll leave, and they'll bring someone else in.
Right. Right. And that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, they're trying to limit as many people. I mean, the more you read, too, I mean, apparently, I mean, you know, Kevin Durant said that he wouldn't play, but he wanted to be with his team. Then they're not going to allow that, or Kyrie.
Well, why would you be allowed with your team?
I guess
because you want
to
support
them.
Well, yeah. I understand in theory you'd like that, but I mean, there's a pandemic going on there, for God's sakes. Why would you add any outside interference that doesn't absolutely need to be there?
Well, if you're not essential, then you're not going to be in the bubble.
Exactly.
You know, if we can keep the number of people down, then that you know, makes the chances of keeping everybody safe significantly better. So I think that's the approach that Adam Silver and the NBPA are trying to take with this thing, which makes sense.
Absolutely. So it's the right thing. So I was reading this article earlier today. If you're a member of the media, you might be asked to go into the bubble and not allowed to leave it for 3.5 months at all.
Which makes sense. Why would you get to leave? If the players can't leave, why would you leave?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you're signing up for.
Once you're in that thing, you're in that thing.
That's the only way you can ensure that everyone inside that bubble is safe.
But it seems so much safer than what baseball is proposing, doesn't it?
So much safer. So much safer. And that's what pisses me off, too. If the entire time the owners only plan on playing, you know, 65, I mean, they're saying 48, whatever it is, 65 games, in condensing it into the time frame that they're talking about now, I mean, that's a completely different sell to the players than playing, you know what I mean, than when they originally talked about the bubble cities. Which makes way more sense if you're trying, if you're really concerned about player safety and keeping everyone healthy.
Well, I mean, you guys are athletes. What would you feel safer in? You go into a biodome and you can't leave with the same people for 3 months, up to 3 months, or you're going to be traveling the country playing all around the place. What would you feel more comfortable with?
The 3 months the being isolated.
Right.
Yeah, the campus.
I think that's a no-brainer.
And on top of that, again, I mean, here's the hypocrisy in the whole thing, too. It's because, I mean, obviously there has to be some benefit as to why the owners want to play games with no fans in their home stadiums. Agreements they have with their states or whatever it ends up being, right? But if you're going to sit here and complain about gate revenue and we can't have people in seats, there are states that are way closer to that being a possibility. Florida being one of them. I mean, Florida's like a different, Florida's open, man.
Yeah, Florida's open, but Florida's also on the uptick in terms of coronavirus cases.
And so is Texas.
Yeah, and so is Texas. So some of the places that we thought would be feasible to have fans in at some point during the baseball season, those places aren't looking like they're as ideal as we once thought they were just because of the rate of transmission of the virus now.
Well, because people don't take it seriously. I mean, they're like fully functional in some of these states.
Yeah,
and plus it's more tests.
Well, yeah.
Plus, there are more tests.
Yes, there are more tests available now, but I guess the whole goal is to try to make sure that you keep your players as safe as possible and keep them from having the virus transmitted to them. And so when you start talking about playing in your home stadium versus playing in one of these other states and trying to create a bubble-like atmosphere, I'm just thinking from a logistics standpoint, that would be a lot more challenging now given what's going on.
I just feel like the original plan for Major League Baseball of locking away in Arizona, to me, still kind of feels like the best plan.
Yeah, half in Florida, half in Arizona. Yeah, I mean, the original plan seems like the safest plan.
Especially if there's no real potential of having fans.
Yeah, I mean, and plus there are teams that are going to go back to their, you know, spring training facilities first anyway. Right? I mean, I think the Yankees and Mets are going to go back once the season, if it does start, are going to go back to Florida for spring training before they start up again.
Right.
I'm with you from this standpoint, Rick. I think isolating the players is the way to go, and having the guys being able to go about their day-to-day routines, going to their home stadium, and then asking them to travel across the country, I don't think that does enough to try to keep the players as safe as you possibly can. Like, I'm all for what the NBA and the NHL are trying to do, because at least you have a better chance at getting everybody to do the right thing when you try to create that campus-like environment where you can't leave.
The talk out of the NBA, if I'm going to be completely honest, with up to 50 players having second thoughts, actually aggravates me more than what's going on with Major League Baseball players.
For some reason.
It just aggravates me. I mean, it's just, you agreed to it, and now, when you're faced with the actuality that you're going to have to do it.
That's going to happen.
Yeah, like now you're upset about it.
Right, with the plans 2 weeks from Monday. Now Monday's here.
Yeah, I mean, you've been quarantined for the last how many months? They're asking you to go into a situation, and you were complaining that, you know, we want all the teams involved. So they come to 22, you're going to play 8 regular season games, and if you don't make the playoffs, you get to go home. And if you do make the playoffs, who knows? There's no home court. Who knows what happens? You make the playoffs, you still got a chance.
Sure.
We've been isolated anyway. What's the difference now? The only difference is you actually get to go to restaurants, you get to play golf, you get to go hang by the pool, you get to go to restaurants. It's not all bad. Being without your family for 7 weeks that'll be challenging, but I mean, you've also had the opportunity for the last 3 months to be with your family every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but do you really want to leave your family now with a pandemic going on as well as civil unrest because of what's going on with social justice and the fight against racism? That's another thing that kind of cropped up on us throughout the course of trying to figure all of these plans out that wasn't accounted for. Do you feel comfortable as a player leaving your family under these circumstances? That's a real consideration. So I get why you would jump on a conference call and have that conversation.
Didn't I see something where if you just don't feel comfortable playing, that the NBA is somewhat understanding of that, and you just won't get paid, and you're not forced to go back?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're at that level where you're freaked out about it, you don't feel comfortable, you have a health issue, or your family has some kind of an issue, you don't have to go back.
Yeah, but I mean, again, that's going to be up to you. But
of course.
Dave, you say that, but if you're talking about the star players having those concerns, then that becomes a league problem as well. Because the NBA, more so than any other sports league, is built on stars.
Sure.
And so
you're right.
You got one of these
Donovan Mitchell says, you know what, I don't feel like going back. If Jason Tatum says, you know what, I don't feel comfortable, I don't want to go back. Yes, that becomes a huge issue.
Which is why you would then need a conference call to try to talk everybody off the ledge and convince the players that this is in the best interest of the sport as well as their own individual interests. So I think that's what's being talked about now, because now that it's getting closer, players are looking at the practicality of all of this and recognizing, okay, this is...
that it's real.
This is real.
And it is real. And it's going to happen. And what do we talk about? Training camps in less than a month, right? July 9th to the 11th?
Early July, yeah.
Yeah. So 1 month from today, every team will be back in training camp. And then 3 weeks after that, we'll be back to game action. So we're not all that far off from the resumption of sports. All right, guys. I think most people are pleased with what the Red Sox did, and I don't know how you couldn't be. Let's start out with kind of the backstory. Torrey Hunter was on Golic and Wingo a couple of weeks ago and said this about Boston and playing in Boston and what it's like.
I've been called the N-word in Boston 100 times, and I said something about it. You know, and, oh, he's just a militant. He's lying. This didn't happen. No, it happened all the time from little kids. And grown-ups right next to him didn't say anything. You know, but you know what? Don't say anything. So I had a no-trade clause in everything I had not to go to Boston. Not because of all the people, not because of the teammates, not because of the front office. Because if you're doing that and allowing it amongst the people, I don't want to be there. And that's why I had a no-trade clause to Boston. In every contract I've ever had. So, and I always wanted to play for him. And it sucks.
So that's Torrey Hunter. We've heard similar from Adam Jones, and it's awful. I mean, to think in this day and age that there are players that just refuse to get dealt to a city because they're concerned that it's going to be racially impactful and they're going to be attacked is such a gross thought, Chris, and something obviously that a lot of players have thought of when it comes to Boston and Major League Baseball.
Well, yeah, Dave, and people question the legitimacy of what Torrey Hunter went through. The Boston Red Sox felt compelled to release that statement because you had some local reporters and some radio hosts questioning whether or not what Torrey Hunter was saying was true in terms of how he was treated. When we know that there have been other players that have experienced racial abuse at Fenway Park. I mean, a couple of years ago, Adam Jones had something thrown at him. And he had fans throwing racial slurs at him as well. CC Sabathia talked about it. The black players in Major League Baseball are well aware of the kind of treatment that they get in Fenway Park. So this has been something that's been ongoing with this franchise. I mean, they even had to rename the street outside of Fenway Park, which was named after Tom Yawkey, who was a known racist. They had to rename it Jersey Street just because they want to disassociate themselves from that part of the team's history. That's serious, man. I mean, we're talking about trying to change the culture around race relations in this country. You know, that's one of the hardest things to do because the roots of racism run deep in America since before America was a country. And so this is just a part of all of that. And so while I appreciate what the Boston Red Sox did yesterday in putting out that statement, we still have a long ways to go because there's only so much that the Boston Red Sox can do at Fenway Park in order to curb that type of behavior. But ultimately, this is a time that we're going to have to decide as a country what we want to be about.
Yeah, you're right. And I really do give the Red Sox a ton of credit because you heard the talk show host say, oh, this is not true. This doesn't happen. Let me read quickly the statement from the Red Sox. And Rick, you can get into it right after. Torrey's Hunter experience is real. So they validate it right off the bat. If you doubt him because you've never heard it yourself, take it from us. It happens. Last year, there were 7 reported incidents at Fenway Park where fans used racial slurs. Those are just the ones we know about. And it's not only players. It happens to the dedicated black employees who work for us on game days. Their uniforms may be different, but their voices and experiences are just as important. We're grateful to everyone who has spoken up and remain committed to using our platform to amplify the many voices who are calling out injustice. There are well-established consequences for fans who use racial slurs and hate speech in our venue, and we know we have more work to do. This small group of fans does not represent who we are, but are rather a reflection of larger systemic issues that as an organization we need to address. True change starts from within, and as we identify how we need to do better, please know we're listening. We hear you, and we believe you. Good on the Boston Red Sox. That's a tremendous step forward.
Yeah, it's a good step forward. I mean, it's embarrassing. They should be embarrassed. I mean, I'm embarrassed as someone that, you know, that grew up in Boston. I mean, that's embarrassing to me. I mean, it also speaks to a bigger problem, you know, that baseball is facing, not just, you know, lack of interest in old fans is, I mean, there's not enough black Major League Baseball players anymore. There isn't. There's not. That's a problem. And I mean, you put these players in situations where, I mean, that's one of the, that may be the most offensive word in the English language that you would choose.
Not maybe.
It is, right?
It is.
Yeah. So, I mean, you choose that word to go after a black player.
Well, they use that word because it is so offensive.
It's disgusting.
It's disgusting. But how about the fact, I mean, guys, we're sitting here in 2020, and you have Major League players who have no trade clauses in their contract that they won't go to Boston?
Yeah, Dave, but I just let you know how real it was. I mean, you say it's 2020, but, you know, Dave, you're talking about systemic racism in this country for over 400 years. Jim Crow was just 50 years ago. So, I mean, I realize that you're saying it's 2020, but we're not that far removed from when black Americans were looked at as second-class citizens. And the remnants of some of those ideologies and beliefs are still alive and well today. And so with all of the protests and the demonstrations around the murder of George Floyd going on, I think this is a time where America has to look itself in the mirror and decide the country that we want to be. Are we going to try to live up to the highest ideals spelled out in the Constitution? Or are we going to allow Americans to be treated with this type of abuse? We got to change the culture. We got to decide what kind of country we want to be.
But this is the time.
But it's so weak. But isn't that weak? But how weak is that though? To be in the stands, knowing, you know, that what you say is going to have no effect on you because the person you say it to can't do anything to combat it.
Which is awful. You know what else really bothers me?
But you feel like that in baseball. I don't know if they feel like that in basketball. Because basketball players have gone up in the stands to fight fans before.
But the fact that someone can say something like that and the person next to them wouldn't try to put a stop to it.
Dave, you got little kids saying stuff like that and their parents are right there.
That to me is almost even worse.
That is even worse. Because think about it, if you're condoning that behavior, that means that you share some of those same beliefs.
I think you're probably teaching them to do it.
Right,
I think you're promoting it.
Yeah.
Like Rick says, and he's right, nobody is born evil. Nobody is born with racial thoughts in their mind. This is something that is given to you.
Yep.
The whole thing is really disgusting.
It is disgusting. And as happy as I am that the Red Sox put out the statement, I mean, what took you so long? Like how many times do you need to be told that this is something that the players regularly hear before you make the decision to stop it?
Well, here's the thing.
Are those the kind of people you want as your fans?
Well, I wouldn't. They've thrown out fans and they've banned fans from coming back for doing those types of things, though. Throwing things at players and using racial slurs. Like they've banned fans from coming into the park. But I mean, you know, how many of those incidents do they, I mean, they even talked about it. They don't know that all the incidents that potentially happened. Some of those things aren't reported at the ballpark. I mean, they've even got employees that are subjected to that type of abuse. So, I mean, I feel like as an organization, they can do their part, but they can't completely change it on their own, even if it is their own park.
They can't, but the fans can. And for every time you hear that, if you bring it to the attention of security or you tell them to shut up, I mean, for that to be allowed to happen is incredible to me. If I was ever at a game and that was happening, I absolutely would say something or do something. And I think a lot of people would. But it feels like maybe in Boston it's not that same level.
Well, I don't think it just happens in Boston. I think you have stuff like this happen everywhere.
But that's a big one.
Boston has been notorious for that. Now, I'm not questioning that, but I don't think this is something that's just isolated to Boston or the Boston Red Sox. I don't believe that. I think this thing is widespread. This happens across the country. I mean, so this is one of those things to me that, you know, I'm glad that the Red Sox took a stand, but I could also understand why fans haven't done more in terms of taking it upon themselves to stop this type of behavior, because you have reporters and sports radio hosts that are questioning whether or not this is even happening after players are saying it's happening. So at least the Boston Red Sox give some legitimacy, some credibility to the claims of Torrey Hunter and other MLB players that have been experiencing things in Fenway Park.
Which I think is an important
step. In order to fix a problem, you got to acknowledge that you have a problem.
Yep.
And I think the Boston Red Sox, having a statement on the record, acknowledges we have a problem.
Let me ask you a question. Dave, you've been doing this for how many years? 30 years?
No, I wasn't doing it when I was 17. 25 years.
Okay, it was close. So 25 years. I was trying to give you a compliment. You've been doing this for a long time.
Appreciate it. You're a veteran of the industry. I appreciate it.
Exactly right. You're a grizzled veteran, and you're damn good at what you do.
I appreciate that.
A day before the show, the night before the show, leading up to the show. I mean, you're thinking about all the things that you would say, depending on the topic.
Sure.
I mean, take me through the idea that you're going to turn on a microphone with all these people listening and say that you don't believe what this man is telling you. That he's made, how would it benefit Torrey Hunter to be making this up? What does he have to gain by making
only thing I can say is think about, and I agree with you. Like, if you are defending it, you're part of the problem. But it's your house, right? It's your city. Torrey Hunter, Adam Jones, these guys are rightfully, but making your city look bad and your team look bad. And some of the talk show hosts around the country will defend their team or their city to the hilt. And I think that's what's happened here.
But is that defending it? I mean, that's not are you defending your city? I mean, that's not defending.
Well, by saying this doesn't happen here, by saying it's not true.
That's just choosing to close your eyes and be oblivious to what's going on. I mean, Torrey Hunter has nothing to gain. Like, he's not, I mean, what's to be gained by saying this happened to him?
Nothing.
And he's actually reported nothing. So how do you defend, how are you saying that he's lying?
Well, yeah, exactly. Why would you say he's lying? Like, by all accounts, Torrey Hunter is a stand-up guy. Adam Jones, a stand-up guy. Why would these black players be making something like this up? They wouldn't be. So why would you ever go on the record and say something like that if you're a reporter or a radio host? Makes no sense.
No, you just perpetuate the problem. Those people should be.
But Rick, those people should be held accountable, man, because what they're doing is perpetuating the problem.
Exactly right.
I mean, how long can we afford to be ignorant to racism in this country?
You can't. You can't. You can't anymore. We're at the point now where you can't anymore. You can't just live in your own little bubble, and because it doesn't affect you on a daily basis, you can ignore it. Because at some point, it will affect you.
Absolutely. And you have to take a stand. And I know it's late to the party, and I'm not defending that, but good on the Red Sox for taking a stand. I mean, better late than never.
Yeah, that's not who you want. I mean, that's not who you want to be as an organization, or what you stand for. That you
but
think
Rick,
that's
I don't think that's who they are as an organization. I don't think as an organization are.
It's not. I don't think so either. But because you haven't taken a stronger stance in the past, people feel like they can show up and say it.
Yeah, I guess
you're enabling people to go into go into Fenway Park and get away with saying what they're saying, which is unacceptable. I don't care what team it is. I don't care what sport it is. It's unacceptable.
We are in complete agreement. All right, let's do a quick 180 here. Santi, and I know I'm putting you on the spot, and maybe you don't. And if you don't, it's okay. Do you have the breaking news sounder that you could play here? Take a moment. All right, Rick. 24 teams in the NHL will open training camps on July the 10th.
Ooh.
Provided nice. That medical and safety conditions allow and the parties have reached an overall agreement on resuming play. The length of training camp and therefore the start date for resumption of play phase four will be determined at a future.
Let's date. Do that hockey.
Hockey is fun.
That's right. Let's do that hockey. July the 10th. So we're going to get this. I mean, we could have quite the week July 10th. NBA starts training camp. NHL starts training camp. And it sounds, Chris, like the NFL could start their training camps right around then as well. So mid-July is going to be a very sweet spot for us.
Yeah, I'm excited about it, Dave. We're actually having to ramp up for the return of live team sports. I know everybody can't wait for that day to get here when you turn on the television and you're seeing a hockey game or you're watching a basketball game. Hopefully if baseball gets it together, you're watching some of that. So it's exciting. I guess the only question I have regarding the NHL opening up the training camps, I know the players have been in the facilities. Has all been going well in terms of them doing that and allowing that to happen? Have we had any incidents pop up?
Nope. So far, so good.
Yep, there we go. So that's all. That's a positive sign. It feels like we're moving in the right direction.
Did you see the kid last night taken from the school that you guys lost to in hockey, Brunswick?
I don't understand why you need to do that. Of course I saw it. I mean, it made me sick to my stomach.
What do you mean? I thought it was cool.
That's
though.
We have
a local
around.
Product that was taken in the first round.
Yeah, but that's not how you framed it.
Well, listen, they were a terrific team. There was no shame in that loss.
Yeah, but it's a loss. I mean, it's a loss, and it hurts my feelings.
Oh, come on. It's not about you. I was just bringing up for reference that you guys played them in hockey. And that they had a kid taken in the first round by the Twins last night. That was what I was trying to...
Yeah, but see, here's the thing, though. But you know people are lazy because you said that now. They just think, you know, loss. There's no context to that loss, how we were undermanned.
But it wasn't even... I was just bringing it up to jolt your memory of you guys played that team and they had a player taken in the first round.
I don't know. The way you said it, Dave, it sounded like you were trying to rip open an old wound.
I really wasn't.
Yeah, you picked off a scab. You ripped it right off.
I sat through that game. In 11 degree weather.
Like gold member. Oh, that's your keeper. I need the skin box.
Speaking of the draft last night, did you guys feel about the Mets draft in Little Big League?
Dude, his mom is the mom in Little Big League, right?
Yeah.
I mean, what I've read
what
about
do
him
with the Mets.
Sounds promising.
We like a little extra.
A great defensive player.
A little extra flair. We need a center fielder. I mean, that's a bonus.
But I love with may not be a great hitter.
No, that's not great.
Yeah, no, that's not.
Let's just focus on we need some defense, Dave. Up the middle, we need some defense. All right.
Yeah, I
didn't
know
you guys have a really good outfield prospect last year. Didn't you guys?
Stop it. See, now that's being a bad guy.
Whatever ended up happening,
just keep rubbing it in.
Whatever ended up happening to him,
he'll be starting for the Mariners. Thanks.
Why would you do that?
Lucky for us, though, DH, universal DH, Robbie Cano, DH.
That's good. McNeil can play second.
No one is Cespedes. Let's see if they can negotiate. Let's see if Brody can negotiate have two DHs in the lineup. So we can have Cespedes DH, too.
Can we bet 10?
The double DH. I like it.
God, let's go to Jamal in Jersey. Jamal, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Hope all is well for you guys over there across the Hudson. I have a topic idea for culinary trash for Rick.
Oh.
So you should do primetime football matchups this upcoming season. So, for example, Monday night you have Chiefs-Ravens, you have Seahawks-Eagles, and you have Rams-Buccaneers culinary trash. What do you think?
That's
like
all right.
I
mean, love
it. I like it. Yeah,
it's pretty good. I mean, that's not bad.
Fine. Yeah. I don't think it would be an awful one, but I don't think it's call up the show and I got a great idea worthy.
Well, I wouldn't disparage him. I appreciate him you know, trying to be a part of it. I mean,
I appreciate
a little bit negative.
His chiming in. I think he's probably a nice man. I don't think it's great. Do you want me to lie? See, that's
no,
the thing. You guys want me to.
Well, I don't want
you
to lie, Dave. I think it's a solid cuddle, marry, trash
fine.
Idea.
It's fine.
Be a part
if
of culinary trash
table,
next week.
If Rick came to the table, now tomorrow's the fun one, right?
Yeah, tomorrow's the food one.
Yeah, food or fun? We did music Friday. Food we did fun. Music. Yeah, we did music on Friday. I had
a breakfast one was outstanding.
Yeah, that was terrific.
That was one
so
of my
here's my question.
CMTs.
Would you cuddle? Would you marry? Would you trash his idea for cuddle, marry, trash?
Cuddle it.
I would cuddle it.
Cuddle it?
Cuddle the hell out of it.
And hellacious seeds.
Yeah.
I think I'd trash it.
That's why you're a bad guy.
I'm not a bad guy. Maybe,
all of a sudden, you're Abraham Lincoln. You can't tell a lie. Like, what if Sherry says, you know, do I look fat? You say, yeah, you look fat. No, you say you look great.
Well, she's never looked fat, so it's not something I have to contend with.
Okay, but I mean, I'm sure she's asked you questions. I mean, hell, she's doing a pretty good job lying to you all these years.
What does that mean?
I mean, come on. I think you know what that means.
You don't think I'm a catch?
Oh, you're a keep. Oh, yeah, you're. I mean, an enormous catch.
See?
Yeah. Just lied to you. Just lied right to your face.
Yeah, you're not very nice to me.
No, you know
I've never been more apparent than this very moment.
We're trying to get callers to call in and take a part of this. Take a part in the show. They want to be a part of this, and this guy comes up with
it. Crushes the guy's idea.
Exactly right.
I don't like his idea. So you know what? Part of the segment is trash. I trash something every segment long. I don't love that idea. He seems like a great guy. You want me to lie to him and say, so Rick, if that's who you choose, do it Monday. Do prime time matchup starting week one on Monday.
But I didn't say I was marrying it. I'm going to take the time over the next couple
days.
Okay,
and I chose to cuddle it. I mean, I chose to trash it. You chose to cuddle it. It's fine.
You just took a really strong stance against it, and I just don't feel like you had the time to process and really think about it.
I don't think it's great. I'm not saying it's going to be golf-level trash-worthy, but I don't think it's great.
Wow.
I mean, that was a bad one. That was
we are getting unfiltered Rothenberg right now.
Yeah, he's this bad guy. I mean, this is
what else do you want to know? You want me to take shots at anybody else? I'm here for you.
This is why Feinbaum can't come on the show anymore. The second you're around Feinbaum for 10 minutes, all of a sudden you turn into Feinbaum.
It's honesty.
Okay. I mean, I think there's a nicer way to be honest.
There you go.
I didn't love his idea. I apologize if I offended anyone. Is that okay?
No, it's not okay because the damage is already done. It's not okay. It's not okay.
I can't walk it back.
Well, that's not what we stand for as a show. I mean, we're trying to have a situation here where people feel comfortable calling in. Not like
call
I have
us
a good idea
at
800-919-3776.
And anything you say will be met with reverence because it'll be so wonderful. We'll be welcoming. We'll cuddle your call.
But yeah, here's the thing. You're being part of it.
Yeah.
You're being part of the problem.
Anything.
You're being part of the problem. It's all, I mean, again, you're being all in or all out, right? There's got to be some middle ground here.
I didn't love his idea. I was honest about it. And now you guys are all over me for it.
You could have said, hey, we appreciate the idea. We'll consider it. I don't love it, but I mean, maybe we'll consider it.
That's the thing. It wasn't a terrible idea, though. It wasn't an awful idea.
It wasn't terrible. You're right. It wasn't
awful. But you're trashing it.
I didn't like it.
Yeah, this wasn't like, okay, let's go through the PGA Tour schedule and you start, you know, ranking which courses you like the best. That's not what this was.
Now, Dinahan, our producer, just texted me. He said, maybe Jerry can call with a Steven Nelson-themed cuddle marriage.
Hey, what's up? It's Jerry.
And I would say that's terrific.
Both of you guys are bad.
I'm not going to downplay anything at this point. Whatever idea you have, I will welcome it. I will cuddle it at a minimum.
This is what I'm talking about, Canty. This guy, he's just kidding. There's no middle ground with this guy.
Yeah, I don't know what we do with him now. I have no idea. Like, he's throwing out the number to call the show, but I mean, if he's going to treat callers like that, like, where do we go? We pride ourselves on being the people's show. We're going to need the people to call in.
Of course. And I'm a man of the people. I'm just going to be honest.
Not when you disparage him like that.
I didn't like his idea. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. If you call with a bad idea, be prepared that if I don't like it, I'm going to say I don't like it. Now, Jared from Williamsburg has another one. You want to go to him or should we avoid that?
I would love to. No, let's go.
All right, let's see what Jared has. Jared in Williamsburg has an idea for a CMT. Go ahead, Jared.
Thank you. How about we do CMT, all your CMTs that you've ever done?
Oh, that's great. I love it.
You're just saying that.
Rick, do you like
see
it
now
as
they
well?
Don't even. Yeah, but here's the thing: now they don't. No one trusts you now. Now people call in and they don't trust you. Now you've lost your integrity.
My integrity was honesty, and you told me I can't be honest.
I would have said this. I said, I appreciate you calling in, taking the time, because I'm sure the things you're doing, I appreciate you taking the time to pick up the phone and call. I don't love that idea.
Mm-hmm. So if you had to trash, cuddle, or marry, where would you go?
I would recycle that one. I would throw that in the recycle. I'm not going to put it in the trash. I would compost it. I could
save
use
it for later. All right, apparently we have a surprise caller on the line. Surprise caller, welcome.
Dave, it's Michael Kay.
Hi, Michael.
I'd have to side with Rick and Chris. Very rude.
It wasn't rude. It was honest.
Callers are the lifeblood. They really are.
I love not a human being. But Dave, Mike, you know this. David is not a human. He's not a regular human being. He's got no emotion. That part of his brain has completely been wiped out with sports knowledge.
Well, I mean, the main reason I wanted to call Rick and Chris was this. I'm concerned about Dave.
Huh.
Because one of the last social things I did was go to his son's bar mitzvah. And he looked tremendous. And he had lost weight. Now, with the quarantine, people sit home. They don't do anything. Dave, have you put the weight back on?
No, I mean, I've put on a few pounds, but not concerning. No. I started at 222, a robust 222. I think now I'm 204. So, no, I've not put the weight back on.
222 is one large pie away from, you know, I mean, it's every marathon starts with one step.
No, I'm fine. I'm totally fine. I had a misstep. I probably got back to 208 at one point, but I've really taken it off since then. And now I'm 204, 203. So you have no worries.
Rick, Chris, do you worry about this?
I'm a little concerned. I will say this. He's 204. I'm sure his right forearm is humongous at this point. Probably probably has an anchor tattooed on it at this point.
Wow.
You see what I have to deal with?
Exactly right. So he'll have the one arm. The one arm's in good shape. We know that.
You feel, Michael, so in some semblances, you feel badly for me that I have to deal with this on a daily basis, right?
No, I envy you. Those two guys are gentlemen, and I envy you.
I would love to
spend time with Rick and Chris.
Kay's guys have been going after him. It's getting uncomfortable. I don't like it. I feel like I'm going to have to come on the show and stand up for Kay. They've been attacking him recently. I don't like it.
Yeah, but I got something to throw at Peter today. He's not going to like it at all. Want a little preview?
Yes, please.
Yes. Give us a tease.
It's somewhat macabre, but that's what we deal in. There's a story in the New York Post today that researchers have found, I think in Britain, 80% of the men who have succumbed to COVID-19 bald.
Yes, I saw that, Yeah, I saw Carlin put
something
a tweet out about that.
Something with the hormones, and because the hormones actually fight the virus if it gets into your system, and those without hair don't have as many hormones.
Huh.
This is not good for
I'm
Peter.
Good.
Yeah, but he has, good, yeah. Michael, how does it work, though? Because he has, I mean, he's got, I mean, Teen Wolf kind of hair on his arms, though. Does that make up for that?
He does, but, The roof has no shingles at all, zero.
Poor guy.
Yeah.
That would be a sin.
Well, he shouldn't leave the house for quite a while if that's the case.
Well, he hasn't.
Good. He should lock himself away.
No, he's the urban gargoyle.
He went to see his parents over the weekend to get some Royal Farms chicken, which I'd never heard of.
Royal Farms is big down in the DMV, DC, Baltimore, Virginia area. It's a big thing.
Is the chicken that good, Chris?
No, it's not. No, it's not.
He lives in
it's
New York not. City, for God's sakes. I think you can find
decent not.
Chicken.
It's not, Michael. You can find better chicken in New York City. No question.
All right.
Michael, we appreciate it. We love the check-in. Thanks for setting me straight. I greatly appreciate it. And we'll be tuning in at 2:55 today.
No. 3 o'clock we start now. That the 2:55 is over with.
See ya.
That's Michael. Done. There's no more 2:55.
No,
that's local meat.
Oh man,
Michael. Here's the one positive thing to come out of this pandemic. Dave has dispelled the urban myth that you don't go blind. He can still see.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, why is he?
I dispelled that years ago. Don't listen to him. He doesn't know what he's talking about. I could have told you that 15 years ago that there was no issues there.
I miss you guys.
Michael, take care. We love you.
We'll be watching.
Bye.
All right. That, of course, is Michael Kay. You know what it feels like?
What?
It feels like whenever the audience becomes bigger for you, Rick, that's when you really dive deep into taking extra big shots at me.
No, it's not the audience. It has nothing to do with the audience. It's just giving me this is free range. Like, I would spend 3 hours doing this. This is locker room, Rick.
All but it's always me. Stuff. Like, you never say anything about Canty. Santiago. It's always pointed at me.
Kay didn't call in to go after Canty. Kay called in to go after you.
Exactly, yeah, because you were clearly right wrong, Dave. Don't try to bury the lead in all of this. You were clearly wrong in how you treated the caller.
I think the caller was wonderful. I think his idea was crap. Do you even have a soul?
Exactly right. And you verbally berated me on Monday about my golf CMT.
It was awful. I'm sorry. It was not good.
But you didn't give any
well
kind
done.
Of construct. You didn't give any kind of constructive criticism. You just said it was terrible. And I confirmed with somebody else that works at the station that they thought it was terrible. There was no way to improve on it. There was no way to try to get better. You just crushed your team.
You know what? It was just bad. It was like rotten fish. There's nothing. If I gave you a piece of rotten fish, there's nothing you can do with it. Just throw it away.
It was so bad you just didn't even want to critique it. It was nothing you could do with it.
No, there was nothing.
Kind of like the proposal that the owners gave the players with Tony Clark felt like.
It was just that. I just got a text from someone at the station again. It was easily the worst segment in show history.
Wow.
So this is not coming from me.
That's fine. I'll take tomorrow off. I'll go drive down and get some chicken in the DMV.
You should. Go some delicious chicken.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.